So, imagine sitting down at your desk, right?
Yeah.
And right next to you is a brilliant, entirely tireless senior developer.
Which is pretty much the dream scenario for anyone coding today.
Yeah, exactly. And they never judge your typos. They are completely available to you at like 3 in the morning.
The best time for coding, honestly.
Right. And most importantly, they never send your proprietary top secret code to some external server. And the best part, they work for free.
Which is exactly the promise of local AI.
It really is. So, welcome to this deep dive. Today, we are looking at some fascinating research from Tekken Gaming. It basically explains why professional developers are just unplugging. They're moving away from the cloud and running these massive models entirely on their own hardware.
Yeah, it's a huge shift. And I mean, the movement away from those really polished, popular tools like GitHub Copilot, ChatGPT Plus, Claude Pro, it's accelerating way faster than most people actually realize.
Definitely. And the mission for our deep dive today is to really give you a shortcut to understanding this shift. We want to show you how you can reclaim your AI sovereignty, without actually needing a massive data center in your backyard.
Right. Because when you look at the enterprise level, relying on cloud AI introduces, well, two massive frictions. You have the perpetual tax of rental economics and then the irrecoverable risk of data exposure. We're really seeing a fundamental pivot from renting intelligence to actually owning it.
Okay, let's unpack those economics first,
Yeah.
because the math gets pretty brutal when you zoom out.
Oh, it really does.
Like if you are a professional developer relying on cloud services, you're paying a permanent subscription fee just to maintain your basic productivity. You've got Copilot for $10, ChatGPT Plus for $20,
Maybe Claude Pro for another 20 on top of that.
right? Plus whatever API usage you have, you're easily bleeding $50 a month or, $600 a year
Well,
over a standard 3-year hardware cycle. It's $1,800 out the window for services that will inevitably raise their prices anyway.
exactly. And contrast that with the ownership model. Investing in a solid mid-range consumer graphics card, something like an NVIDIA RTX 3060 Ti or maybe a 4060 Ti, that is a one-time capital expenditure of maybe $400 to $700.
Which puts the break-even point at somewhere around 8 to 12 months.
Yeah, usually under a year.
After that first year, every single month is just pure savings. You have zero recurring costs, absolutely no rate limits, and you actually own a tangible asset at the end of the day.
Which is great financially, but I mean, I know for a lot of enterprise developers, the money is kind of just a bonus.
Oh, for sure.
The real catalyst for going offline is security, because every time you accept an autocomplete suggestion from a cloud AI or you paste a messy function into a chat window to ask for optimization.
That proprietary logic physically leaves your machine.
Yes, it travels across the public internet to servers owned by Microsoft, OpenAI, or Anthropic.
Right.
And, for a weekend hobby project, that is perfectly fine. But if you are building a proprietary trading algorithm or handling actual patient data, you are creating a massive vulnerability.
I always think of it like it's like renting a luxurious, fully furnished apartment. But the landlord has a copy of your personal diary.
That is a terrifying thought.
Right. And it's literally written right into the lease that they can scan it whenever they want to.
Yeah, exactly. And beyond just the discomfort of that, there are severe regulatory implications here. Healthcare developers are strictly bound by IPO. Financial sectors have to deal with SOX and PCI DSS compliance.
Right. So sending code snippets that might accidentally contain hard-coded API keys.
Or database schemas, or your core business logic.
Yeah, sending that to a third party is a massive compliance violation.
Massive. And there is also this lingering, very real fear that your innovative code might be ingested into a training data set, inadvertently benefiting your direct competitors in the next model release.
Which nobody wants.
No, absolutely not. So by running inference locally, you can physically unplug your Ethernet cable, and your coding assistant just doesn't miss a beat.
Okay, but I have to push back on the performance aspect here.
Sure.
I mean, I get the security part and the cost savings obviously make sense. But a massive multi-billion dollar cloud server farm has to generate code faster than a consumer GPU just sitting on my desk, right?
Well, it depends on what you're doing. If we are talking about generating a 10-page essay, yes, the cloud's raw compute power will absolutely output tokens faster.
What?
But for daily coding workflows, local inference often feels significantly faster. And it all comes down to the physics of network latency.
Because you are entirely eliminating the commute. When I query a cloud model, that request has to route through my ISP. navigate this whole series of fiber optic hops across the country to some data center, get processed, and travel all the way back.
Right, which introduces anywhere from, say, 100 to 300 milliseconds of round-trip latency before the very first token is even generated.
Wow, just to start.
Just to start. But when you query a local model, the data moves from your system RAM to your GPU over a PCIe lane on your motherboard. We're talking gigabytes per second.
So for short, rapid-fire queries like inline autocomplete, which you might trigger hundreds of times an hour, bypassing the internet entirely makes the AI feel basically instantaneous.
Exactly. Plus, you are completely immune to service outages. If OpenAI's API goes down for maintenance, your workflow doesn't just grind to a halt.
Which is a huge relief.
Yeah.
But to actually build this setup, we have to talk about the physical engine. Because running large language models requires a completely different hardware paradigm than something like, say, high-end PC gaming.
It really does. In gaming, the primary bottleneck is usually your GPU compute, like how fast the actual silicon can process teraflops of data to calculate lighting physics or render complex polygons.
Right.
But large language models are fundamentally different. They are almost entirely memory bound. So the critical bottleneck is actually your VRAM, video RAM.
Because the entire neural network model, like all of its parameters, has to be fully loaded into the GPU's video memory before it can generate a single character, right?
Spot on. And that leads to the core technical hurdle here. If you do the raw math, a 7 billion parameter model, which, by the way, is sort of the current sweet spot for local coding assistance stores, every single one of those parameters is a weight.
Right.
If you run that in full precision using 32-bit floating prompt numbers, that model demands about 28 gigabytes of VRAM.
20 gigabytes. Which basically pushes local AI out of reach for anyone who doesn't have a $10,000 enterprise accelerator card.
Exactly. And this is where the concept of quantization changes the entire landscape.
Okay, let's unpack this.
So by utilizing what's called INT4 quantization, that exact same 28 gigabyte model compresses down to just 3.5 gigabytes of VRAM.
That is insane. I mean, quantization sounds super intimidating, but it's basically like saving a massive, uncompressed raw photograph as a highly optimized JPEG.
That's a perfect analogy.
Like, you technically lose a microscopic fraction of that pixel-peeping detail, but suddenly the image fits on a standard thumb drive instead of a massive hard drive. And to the naked eye, it looks practically identical.
Exactly. If we look at the underlying mechanism, INT4 quantization works by basically rounding down those hyper-precise 32-bit decimals into 4-bit integers.
Which seems completely counterintuitive, right? Like throwing away that much mathematical precision without destroying the AI's intelligence.
It does seem that way. But the thing is, neural networks don't derive their logic from the exact decimal value of a single isolated weight. They derive it from the relational patterns and the shapes between billions of weights.
Oh, I see. So the relative difference between the nodes is what actually matters.
Exactly. A strong connection between two concepts in the model remains a strong connection, whether it is represented by a highly precise float or just a rounded integer.
Right.
So modern quantization formats like GGUF, they retain about 95 to 98% of the model's original reasoning capabilities while consuming just a fraction of the hardware resources.
Now, I noticed in the research that Apple Silicon users have a massive, almost unfair advantage here.
Oh, they absolutely do. It's wild.
Because of Apple's unified memory architecture, right?
Yeah.
They aren't dealing with that traditional PCIe bottleneck at all.
Right. The CPU and the GPU share the exact same pool of physical memory.
So if you have, say, an M2 Mac with 32 gigabytes of system RAM, your GPU effectively just has access to a 32 gigabyte VRAM pool.
It is a profound architectural advantage because traditional PCs have deeply segmented memory. You might have 64 gigs of system RAM, but if your dedicated graphics card only has 8 gigs of VRAM,
you're hitting a hard wall.
A very hard wall for AI inference. Apple's system-on-a-chip design bypasses that entirely. It allows Mac users to run incredibly large, highly quantized models on standard laptops, completely without a dedicated, power-hungry external GPU.
We should probably note that you technically can run these models purely on a standard CPU, without any hardware acceleration.
You can, yeah. But doing that yields maybe 2 to 8 tokens per second.
Which feels like watching someone hunt and peck on a keyboard. It's agonizing.
It really is. A proper GPU setup pushes 20 to 80 tokens a second, which is what you actually need for a fluid experience.
So assuming you actually have the physical engine, like a solid consumer graphics card or a modern Mac paper, how do we get the software running? Because I mean, just a few years ago, setting up local AI was a miserable experience.
Bro, what is a nightmare?
Just managing Python virtual environments, troubleshooting endless CD driver conflicts.
It was a massive barrier to entry. But the software stack has matured incredibly fast.
Mm-mm.
The foundation of this new stack is a tool called Ollama. It essentially operates as the Docker for AI, completely abstracting away all that hardware management and the driver nightmares you just mentioned.
You literally just download a 500 megabyte executable, install it, open a terminal, and type Ollama run Mistral. And that's it.
And in 60 seconds, you have a 7 billion parameter neural network running. Under the hood, during those first 60 seconds, Ollama is doing an immense amount of heavy lifting.
What's it actually doing?
Well, it dynamically probes your system, identifies your specific GPU architecture, calculates the exact optimal quantization format that will fit into your VRAM limit, downloads the appropriate weights, allocates the memory, and spins up a REST API server on your local network.
Wow.
Yeah, it basically turns a weekend-long infrastructure project into a single terminal command.
It's literally plug and play. And the model that seems perfectly tuned for this right now is DevStrol 2 running on the Mistral architecture.
Yes, DevStrol 2 is fantastic.
It's trained on over 80 programming languages, but what really makes it special is this mechanism called sliding window attention.
Right.
I was looking into how this works, and instead of the AI trying to hold an entire massive code base and its active attention all at once, which would just consume VRAM exponentially, it looks at overlapping chunks of code.
Exactly.
It maintains a linear memory footprint while still understanding the broader context of the entire file.
It is a brilliant workaround for the inherent hardware constraints of consumer GPUs. But, you know, running a brilliant model inside a basic terminal window is completely useless for a professional developer.
Yeah, you don't want to be copying and pasting all day.
Right. To actually replace a tool like GitHub Copilot, this intelligence has to physically live inside your IDE.
And that is where the Continue extension comes into play. It's this open source tool you can drop straight into Visual Studio Code.
Yep.
Out of the box, it wants to connect to cloud services, obviously. Mm. But you just tweak the configuration file to point to your local Ollama server, which quietly runs on port 14534.
Right, the local port.
Once you bridge that connection, you get all the premium features. You get contextual chat, where you just highlight code and press Ctrl plus L to ask for like a time complexity analysis,
mm-hmm.
or inline edits with Ctrl plus I, where you just type add try catch blocks to this function, and it generates the diff right on the screen.
And the crucial mechanism here is how Continue actually handles context. When you trigger a command, it doesn't just read the active file you're looking at.
Oh, really?
No, it traverses your entire syntax tree, pulls in your recent commits, checks your imported modules, and silently packages all of that contextual data into a highly optimized prompt.
But wait, it never sends that massive package to the internet, right?
However, that's the beauty of it. It routes that massive context payload locally to port 111434. The Ollama engine processes it entirely on your physical silicon and streams the tokens directly back into your VS Code window. The data literally never touches your network interface card.
Okay, so we have the hardware optimized, we have Ollama managing the resources, and the Continue extension integrating it directly into the workflow.
Right.
But the ecosystem doesn't just stop at defaults. You can actually tune the engine so the AI behaves exactly the way your specific workflow demands.
Yes, and one of the biggest levers you have for this is the context window.
Let's talk about that.
So the context window basically represents the model's short-term working memory. It defines how many tokens of code in conversation history the neural network can actively maintain before it starts forgetting the beginning of your prompt.
Right.
By default, many local models cap this at 4,096 tokens, which translates to roughly 3,000 words or maybe a few hundred lines of code.
Which is perfect for isolating a single function or maybe a small script. But if I need the AI to analyze a complex multi-file class architecture, 4,000 tokens just isn't going to cut it.
Exactly. So if your hardware permits, meaning you have, say, a 12 gigabyte card or better, you can actually manually override that limit. You use something called a model file, which acts very much like a Docker file.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and you can instruct a Ollama to expand the context window to 16,384 tokens.
So you are geometrically expanding its memory allocation, which allows you to literally dump entire modules into the chat and ask comprehensive architectural questions without the AI just losing the plot halfway through.
Exactly.
And you can further dictate how it processes that architecture by using system prompts, right? Like, you don't have to settle for a generic, overly polite chatbot.
No, not at all. You can completely program the latent space before the conversation even begins. You can set the system prompt to something like, "You are a ruthless, security-first senior developer who only outputs raw, optimized code and aggressively flags SQL injection vulnerabilities."
I love that.
It's super effective. Setting a strong system prompt is crucial because it anchors the model's probabilistic generation. It fundamentally adopts that specific persona and applies those exact constraints to every single response.
Saving you from having to constantly correct its formatting or its tone,
yep.
Which is super annoying.
Right, exactly.
But I mean, the most fascinating tuning parameter, mathematically speaking, has got to be temperature.
Oh, temperature's fascinating.
It controls the randomness or the strict deterministic nature of the AI's output. And here's where it gets really interesting. If you imagine the AI trying to guess the next word in the sequence, like the cat sat on the anno, it generates a probability distribution, right?
Right.
Maybe the word mat has a 65% probability. Floor is 20%. Chair is 10%. And moon is just 1%.
Right. And if you set the model's temperature to absolute zero, you are forcing it to be perfectly deterministic. It will mathematically select the highest probability token every single time.
So it will always output mat.
Always. But if you raise the temperature to something like 1.5, you are artificially flattening the hills and valleys of that entire probability distribution. You are basically forcing the AI to step off the most beaten path, making highly unlikely tokens much more viable. It becomes highly creative, and in that scenario, it might actually choose moon.
Which raises a really important question for me. If I am generating code, I want perfect syntax. I want logic that actually compiles. I definitely don't want the AI getting creative and hallucinating variables that just don't exist.
Right, of course.
So shouldn't I just hard code the temperature to zero?
You know, that is the instinct for most developers, but absolute zero is actually detrimental for complex problem solving.
Really? Why?
Well, when you ask the AI to refactor a messy algorithm in a completely novel way, you need a small degree of variance in its neural pathways to discover an elegant solution.
Oh, I see. If it's too deterministic, it just regurgitates the standard boilerplate.
Exactly. It can easily get stuck in a rigid loop, repeatedly suggesting the exact same flawed logic because it mathematically cannot explore alternate routes.
That makes total sense.
So a temperature setting between maybe 0.2 and 0.5 flattens those probability hills just enough. It maintains strict adherence to programming syntax, but it introduces the slight flexibility required for genuine algorithmic problem solving.
You want a senior developer who can think laterally, not just a copy machine.
Exactly.
So what does this all mean when we look at the entire landscape? I mean, if you are writing code for 20 or more hours a week, the return on investment for building a local AI pipeline is just undeniable at this point.
Completely undeniable. We are completely past the era where local inference was just this clunky, good enough compromise for paranoid developers.
Right.
The combination of zero network latency, the total elimination of rate limits, and the absolute sovereign control over your proprietary data, it just makes local AI fundamentally superior to the cloud for core development workflows.
You own the entire stack end to end. Your intellectual property never touches a router. Your flow state is never broken because a remote server went down for scheduled maintenance.
Yeah, that peace of mind alone is worth it.
And while, sure, a quantized 7 billion parameter model might not be able to write a symphony or pass the bar exam like a massive data center model can.
Right, it's a different tool.
Exactly. For the specific, highly structured tasks of a developer generating boilerplate, explaining syntax, and inline autocomplete, it is a remarkably potent tool.
And, you know, the efficiency of these models is accelerating rapidly. The quantization techniques are getting sharper every month, and the actual hardware architectures are increasingly being optimized specifically for this exact type of memory-bound workload.
Which really makes you realize where this is all heading. We've established how powerful and cost-effective a single local AI assistant is on today's consumer hardware. But if you extrapolate this curve, if hardware gets exponentially more capable every single year and models become even smaller and smarter,
it gets wild.
It does. I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over. Imagine a workflow just a few years from now where you aren't running a single local assistant. Imagine spinning up an entire offline ecosystem of hyper-specialized AI teammates all running simultaneously in the background of your laptop.
All working together.
Exactly. You have one model tuned with a low temperature, solely dedicated to writing core logic. A second model running a highly aggressive security system prompt, actively red teaming and testing that code in real time.
Wow.
And a third model simultaneously analyzing the diffs and writing the documentation, all of them communicating with each other, completely off the grid, executing complex multi-step workflows. What does that mean for the future of the solo developer? We are rapidly approaching a reality where a single laptop holds the creative and productive power of an entire tech company, and all you have to do is sit down, open your machine, and let your free, tireless team get to work.